Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 74 of Life in Ruins Podcast, where we investigate the careers of those living a life in ruins. My name is Carlton, and I'm here with David and Connor. We don't have a script tonight, because why? So it's going to be one of those episodes. No outline. You guys love it when you do these, but instead of actually covering a topic that we kind of have knowledge about, we're going to talk about our tips and tricks for being an anthropology student, undergrad, applying to grad school, and how to do research.
Yes, if David. You're new to the podcast and you're just tuning in for this episode, which seems to still be happening, stay listening, because it is stuff that you might want to know or that you could relate to somebody. But we'll also talk about archaeology as well. And this isn't our usual episode, so stay with us.
Start with Bob Kelly, and then everything from there is downhill. What episode is that one?
Oh, let's start off with like our favorite episodes and just piss off all of our guests that have been on.
Yeah, that's a great strategy, David. Let's do that.
Let's start with the ones we hate the most. Yeah.
Bernie Taylor. Of course.
Takes the cake, dude.
It's not okay. As a gentleman, Bernie, the nicest guy. It's not that I dislike his episode. No, sorry, I do dislike his episode. I don't dislike him.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a person, he's fine. But as a researcher and internet personality, he's a big old bag of shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you.
I won't say it.
Never mind. I think we've talked about this before on the show. No, we haven't, because I did that special episode with Emily and Lana that has never got aired, where we reviewed his episode.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, remember we tried to do those bonus episodes? Connor did one with Brian. I did one with Lana and Emily. I mean, yeah, we explained it on there. We had a whole outline for him, and we had a whole set of topics that we never touched. The second we introduced him to the show, he just kind of took it away.
Here's something, though. When I was on Tasha's podcast or on her YouTube channel, and she was interviewing me with my dog lecture spiel, it was funny. When I had the PowerPoint, I had to read and go in the exact direction I always go with that talk. And like, she would ask me questions, and I was like getting thrown off because I was like trying to do the spiel. But if I don't have the PowerPoint, I can just have an actual podcast conversation. So I wonder if that's what Bernie was doing. And we were just like, shut up, Bernie, like the whole time, and throwing him off his groove. But maybe he would have had it. I don't know. A podcast.
He had a pitch.
He had a pitch.
He had it like kind of laid out in a certain, I talk about this and then I talk about this and this leads to this kind of thing. So,
yeah.
And we were like,
same conversation he has on every podcast. Cause I listened to two of his interviews and it was the same format.
Yeah, I guess.
And I was just making him rage quit. And we stopped that role off essentially.
Yeah. Anyway, his was it was good. Bob's was great. If you guys are listening and haven't listened before, check out Bob's, which is Dr. Kelly episode. Carlton knows it somehow.
Yep.
27.
Yep, that one.
Bernie Taylor's 14.
Had some great ones.
I really like Talia Farnsworth.
Yeah, episode. She was great. Yeah.
I like that one. Generally, I don't dislike any of them. There's definitely a few that I listen to repeatedly.
Really?
One that we had Mac on, I listened to that one. Maddie Mac McAllister's episode 40 and Jamie Goodall's.
Yeah, I listened to that one the other day while I was carving an atlatl, actually. And I was like smiling the whole time because it was like, this is a riveting actual like conversation about piracy.
I like Shane and Dr. Toon.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Steffens are always good. That's like a good conversation.
It's always fun to have him on.
I mean, every guest we've had has been great, except for
the dog guy.
Shane's, yeah, there's, I generally like all of them. I re-listened to the SAA ethics panel response the other day because the email that we got to remind myself what exactly was spoken about.
That one made some waves in the archaeology community.
That one did.
Oh, no, the best part is that me and David weren't there.
No. Yeah. It's not the best part about it.
There was one of them where I came in the middle of it, and I hadn't taken my meds, and I was on one.
That was Max. That was, of course.
I was, like, singing.
But he sung the freaking Snickers commercial song.
But, like, I felt bad, because it was, like, such a good topic, and he probably, for a half hour, was just being very professional. I came on, and I was, like, just, like, screaming.
I don't know. Kelly's was good.
How'd you get that? Oh, my God. Strider has a giant jar of peanut butter.
Continuing. Yeah, so...
The thing that we probably get asked the most about is tips, tricks, what to do in undergrad and graduate school. I think David probably gets this like every other day, comments and messages about, yeah, what we should be doing as undergrad and what classes take, how to get into grad school, things like that. David, you get those messages all the time, right? Asking tips, tricks for grad school and whatnot.
I just want to say for the record that Strider got my $10 thing of Justin's peanut butter and stuck his disgusting tongue in it, and it's all wasted now. Anyway, yes, I do get those messages quite often, and I usually say talk to Carlton because he's got a great spiel. Carlton's very pragmatic and honest about it. I
hate it. I hate being aggressive so much. I keep trying to tell people to avoid the hell that I found myself in.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm just like, don't do it, and like I feel bad saying it, but... I don't know. It's weird because the three of us have like success in it. You know, we're all employed. We have fun with it on the side. We think about it all the time. And then some people are like, I really want to do this. And I'm like, I really think you should do accounting.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I don't know. Where should we start with it?
I guess, I mean, fundamentally, if you're in anthro undergrad, I think that's a good place to start. And I noticed, like, I was looking up before we got on. Connor, you went to Colorado State, which has 30,000 student body. David went to UT Knoxville, student body of 30,000. And I went to Radford University, student population 10,000, with not a very established anthro department. Like, we had five professors.
I feel like CSU was established, but not well funded. Like, we weren't, people don't go to CSU for anthropology. They go there for engineering or biology or other things like that. So we have big names there like Jason LaBelle and other anthro folks, but we didn't have a really solid, well-funded program. Is Knoxville any better, David?
Knoxville is more of biological, UT would call it physical anthropology school, but I guess biological is the new one. And people go there for that. They also have a very strong, I mean, forensics is their thing, human osteology is their thing, but they have a very strong cultural department, and the cultural department is specifically disasters and human diaspora. So like stuff, people moving after Katrina and stuff in like Africa. And just like Sudan and things like it's interesting stuff. And then archaeology is small and literally just Dave Anderson and Shimmick.
Yeah, that's a big name. And yeah, two of my professors at Radford were UT Knoxville grads in forensic anthropology.
Sorry, that was when I was there. I think there's more people there now. They have a new department head. Sorry. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. No, it's just that in the Southeast, University of Tennessee, Knoxville. I think it is still doing physical anthropology, and there is a difference between physical and bio. And last I checked, that's still the bastion of physical anthropology.
Yeah, I mean, the forensic anthropology center's there, and like the Bill Bass stuff, that's not going to go away.
Never.
I also was doing a live on TikTok the other day, and someone asked me like where I went to undergrad, and I started talking about that. And I went on this like 5-minute tangent about how I saw raccoons like eat a decomposing human body and I couldn't look away. to us that's like fascinating, but to anyone else just swiping through TikTok and coming up, I was like, then it ate its like toes, and I watched it on night vision camera.
but I kind of like where I was going with the class sizes and field of it was, you know, we also didn't have grad students. So I was afforded a lot of opportunities, and like, I knew all my professors really closely. Like, it's not like, you know, Boulder or something I recognize with a lot of the anthro kids here is like, they might have a professor maybe twice. Whereas like I went, did 3 years of undergrad, and poor Dr. Fox, Dr. Anderson, Dr. Yoder had to deal with me at least once a semester. Like, there was just no escaping it. And I got really close with them. And because of that, I was afforded a lot of opportunities, like the work, be able to do art, like my own research on field school stuff, and, you know, get to present at San Francisco SAAs, you know, that wouldn't have happened if there were grad students who were working on that kind of stuff.
So, yeah, I will give a counter argument saying that grad students can also be really good. Because they're 100%. Sources, yeah, because they can be sources of funding and also afford you those opportunities. I worked with Ben Perlmutter doing...
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a real good dude. Doing debitage analysis for his thesis work that was funded and got credits for it as well. So there are benefits to having grad students there, but I think Carlton's nailed it that like that can distract professors.
I would qualify too, saying like in Connor's case, it is great because I had like Megan Dennison, who we had on. She like really pushed me to do what I wanted to do. And you have someone who's an intermediary between like an untouchable professor when you're a kid and like somebody who's like, you know, closer to your age that will just tell you the truth than you can confide in. And then there's you. But in like schools where there's grad students, they also get all the attention. And like they're trying, like the professor wants to, like you're just an undergrad and the class doesn't matter. I luckily lucked out with Dave, but Carlton, it sounds like a pretty good situation for you there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it here at Boulder, the work I do for Doug isn't conducive for me having undergraduate underlings. So I've just never really seen it. But I think now with Doug's newer student, looking at ceramics, we've had a couple students in there. But even then, it's like, I'm not sure how well that's going because it's still COVID, but... I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily a good or bad thing. Like my experience was that small class sizes, small faculty, you know, grad students allowed me to, I mean, I would have burned bridges real quick, you know? So it's, there's pros and cons. I know a few people in my cohort, maybe not a few, but at least two, you know, whose behavior and attitude ended up being detrimental to them going to grad school because who's going to write them letters of rec? So there's pros and cons, I'd say.
Yeah, so finding out if a program has grad students is something to look into, I think. Especially at CSU, we just had an MA program and not a PhD program. So that's something to be aware of as well.
And I'd say like if it does have a grad program, try to work with the PhDs. Nothing against the master's students, but like they just became grad students. So maybe kind of like when you're chilling with like a new professor, like how the job market is, what's successful at the moment. But if you really want to tap into the knowledge and the network, like a PhD would be someone to really hook up with.
Yeah. And they're going to be the ones who are now going to, well, it's twofold. The PhD students are going to be the ones going to get like a good job. And when you want to go to grad school, they might be your professor one day to be good to work with. And they're going to be running sites. But master's students, though, are good to know because, like, I met Crabe when he was a master's student and I was an undergrad. And that's a connection that helped later. And, like, when I needed a roommate and he was coming to Wyoming, I was like, oh, I knew you. And, I mean, that's just a student connection, I guess, like a friend connection. But I don't know. I just feel like I've gotten opportunities from master's students as well.
It's more of I think.
It's just networking is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's less of an academic thing, but it can be academic to have friends that are grad students. But yeah, networking is probably the biggest thing to do is to know those people, to know the grad students, the PhD students, at least be able to send them emails and whatnot. I think that's huge.
Yeah. And then when you are a grad student for your first time, like a master's student, you're like 1 year older than you were in college. So like, it's just weird. You're closer in age to the undergrads than you are like the PhD students half the time. So like, it might be fun to let go, like Connor, like we're just still in like college age going out and just like partying, not at like undergrad parties, but like at the bars and stuff. But it's just like, it's a weird spot to be in, because you're not an adult, but you're also an adult that's like off the leash.
Yeah. I was living in a fraternity house during master's experience.
You were.
Yeah. Talking about networking, the University of Wyoming had a SIGEP chapter and they needed a live-in advisor. And so guess who signed up for that?
You were advising people how to live?
I was advising them how to be good academics. And to my credit, their GPA, their cumulative GPA rose from 2.8 to 3.2.
Oh, good job.
That I installed it rather and turned that chapter around after that one incident. And, you know,
dude, I just remembered like for your first year, I was just like, where's he living? Or something like that. They're like frat house. And I was like, get a load of this guy. Like, I'm not going to associate with him.
And it worked out.
It was just everything. Like, anyway, that's a whole story another day, but it's just like, it just every story I heard about you just got better and better. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if you were real. Just like all the things, all the intersections of you as a person was like the hardest thing for me to like picture. Like,
and then you came up to visit me, and me, you, and Laura were sitting on the couch like watching a movie, and Carlton just busts in and be like, "What's up?" Uninvited. You're checking on Crave, I think, and that's when you first met Carlton, I think.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, it's him.
Anyway. There's some idiosyncrasies and like weird kinks to like get out when you're a master's student, for sure, because you usually move to another state, another school. It's like, here's something: if you're an undergrad and you have the ability to take a master's level class, take it. I did that. I had like several seminars, and that teaches you how to write like a serious research paper, how to do research, how to act professionally like in a grad environment, and it's more of like an informal discussion than it is a like a Socratic circle, than it is like a lecture, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And on that note, I think we are gonna end this first segment of A Life in Ruins Does College, episode 74. So we'll catch you on the next segment.
Welcome back to episode 74 of A Life in Ruins podcast. We're sitting here with Carlton, Connor, and John Stamos, interviewing him, the Stameister.
The Greek god.
The Greek god. Wait, John Stamos is not here. I could not afford to get him as a guest, but
we tried. Let's
see. Yeah, we tried. We definitely tried. And by it, we couldn't afford, like, we don't have an agent that could get us somebody like John Stamos, nor would we need to have John Stamos, to be real. Continuing on to our conversation with grad schools and college. Other questions I get are, how do you get into it? How do you know? I think, how do you know what school to go to is the biggest one. And undergrad is the question, not necessarily grad school. And undergrads, you don't normally pick. You just go to the one that, like, you know, your parents are like, make sure you go to NYU or go to Harvard, and you're like, all right, not gonna go there, ma. Watch wait till you see my GPA at the end of the year. but I went to UT because UT is the public school in Tennessee that everyone goes to, and like, it's big. It luckily had an anthropology department, but some people have the opportunity to go to a different undergrad, like, that's not their state. And maybe that's half the time people do. I don't know. Point being, if you're in high school or you're not in college and you're after high school, either way, or between colleges, look up what like a school maybe you want to go to and check out the anthropology department. And if the anthropology department only does cultural anthropology in Tibet, like, it's not going to be conducive to Paleo-Indian archaeology. So you need to find one that does that.
I would agree. Go to their website. Each website usually has a bio for each professor that introduces what they do, what they teach. That is really valuable information. Could you pronounce Tibet again?
Tibet?
Tibet? Tibet?
How do you say it?
Tibet.
What do I say?
Tibet. Like some Thai is Tibet. Tibet? Like Mahjong or something.
Sorry that my brain just like got stuck on that.
People say Tibet?
Yeah.
I've always heard of this Tibet.
It's a New England thing. We were watching some 9/11 series on Netflix recently, and Lana could not get over the accents. I'm like, dude, that's just how people speak up there.
It's just people saying the English language wrong. Is how
just like that. I don't know. Like, I think it's more important for grad school to know who your teacher is. Like,
yeah.
I mean, at Radford, I went to Radford because they had a late enrollment, and I got in and did anthro, and like, I did like woodland, southeast woodland. I mean, just, got good grades, wrote nice papers, and Bob Kelly accepted me as a student without having working in Paleo Indian to work on Plains Village. So, you know, yeah. I have a very non-traditional way of doing things.
No, that's why I got to CSU. That was the only one I got into. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do the thing.
Yeah, it's also why I went to
UT. As long as they have a bad one. Not like, that's not a bad program.
No, not at all.
Where else did you apply?
Regis, Denver. It's like a private school. But they didn't have an anthropology department. So I think knowing the college you're applying to has an anthropology department or a history department that does both is huge.
Yeah, I would second that, saying, like, I went to UT Chattanooga my first year. And because I just wanted to go to a smaller one, I guess. I also didn't get into UT Knoxville. I went to finding out you have ADHD is very helpful, because then you can get help and your grades go way up. Yeah. So I went to UTC, and all of my friends became born again Christians, and like, we would go to church on like Wednesday nights, and I was like, I would rather die. So I would physically hide under my, like, the pillows of my bed, and they'd come into my room and be like, oh, I guess he's not here. Like, it was bad, but they're nice guys. Anyway, I was like, I can't be here anymore. And like, the anthropology department was just, I think, cultural. And there was a primatologist there. She was great, but like, I wanted to do archaeology, and I found out that UTK had a better archaeology department anyway. And I ended up transferring there too, because I still had a bunch of friends there, and I did the last 3 years there. And I went as a transfer student. But yes, I guess first year of college, I realized what I wanted to do and then switched, which isn't out of the question for you. It did just suck, because I was going to be a double major in history and anthropology. They told me that, you know, your stuff transferred, and then, oh yeah, you'll be a double major. Just finish these X amount of classes. And then the very last semester of college, they were like, oh yeah, sorry, you have to take World Civ 1 and 2 again, because it wasn't the ones that they teach here. And I was like, it's the same school system. You can kiss my ass. I will take the minor. I'm already accepted to grad school. Die. And I left. Anyway, rant over.
I will say, you don't have to get an anthropology undergrad to do grad school in it. I mean, I don't
think you don't.
It's not, you can do history. You can do, it's good to be in a field that's related, but I don't think you have to do.
Yes, because I know some programs, anthro is like in geography or something like that. So as long as there's like an anthro component. Now, if you want to go to a master's in anthro, but you have like a degree in business or something, it's a hard, because there's that one guy, Clark, who started after us, me, who his undergrad was something different. And he was taking.
No, we had the marketing lady, right? Wasn't, or what was she in?
Wunderslausch?
Yeah.
Wunderslausch was in.
I have no idea why they're laughing. I wasn't there for this.
There was this very lovely woman who was like a maybe like middle aged that came into our class for linguistics, and she wore a top hat like all the time. And it was right when South Park had come out with the Wunderslausch episode. We just called her Wunderslausch because I never knew her name.
She was very nice. She was a great lady.
And then I remember she suggested that people are like born with like the ability to speak certain languages. And I was like, no, I was just that awkward. And I felt really bad, but I didn't know what to do. So I looked at Pam, and then she took the reins.
Yeah. Having a good understanding of basic theory in anthropology is also huge.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Especially in that scenario. But we had people come in from history. We had people come in from
those
geography, geology.
Yeah, Kelton was a history. Yeah.
We had a guy named Kelton.
On the podcast, Dave, we interviewed him like 6 weeks ago. Kelton Meyer, CSU.
Oh, I thought you meant at Wyoming. I was like, I don't remember any Kelton coming to Wyoming. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say most people are anthropology. Oh, and that's a thing too. We had our first year, Connor, I think you remember, it was our arc theory. We had that, like, it was a, sorry to say it, 10 little Indian scenario. I guess 10 little indigeni. How would you say that these days? Anyway, Carlton's face is not approving of me. I am canceled. But that
please
is,
explain. Please explain.
Where are we going with this?
Please explain.
That is the English phrase that would explain it. Sorry if I'm not canceled now. But the We had like 12 people. So there's 12 of the Indians. And we...
Were they... Hold on. So these aren't actual Indians.
No. It's like, oh, I was like... our cohort. But it's like a figure of speech because it's from an old story. Probably not great. But anyway, well, let's suss that out another time. But we had a lot of people. And it was like a great big cohort. We're like, this is awesome. Like, wow, it's so intimidating. And then by the end of the year, we had 5 of us. It started with like 12 because they all left. One had a baby, which props to her. You know what? Take care of your baby. Like, don't stress out with school.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people did it with the baby, like Megan did it. And then one person just left because she got in like an argument with like maybe Nicole or Strauss. Like one of us. Maybe it was Strauss. I think she left our first semester, though.
Yeah,
it was something we talked about, and like it was like a intense topic, and she was like not wrong at all. She just, I think, realized like this is way over my head, and like just quit. And I felt bad. Several people did. Oh, what was that one girl? Nateel?
Oh, Nateel. Yeah, Nateel was there.
Yeah,
I can't remember what happened with her.
She just left.
Oh yeah, and then there was another. There was the first semester we lost one who just realized that it wasn't her jam. I think she was just too busy.
So point with all of that post-cancellation would be that there are going to be a lot of people that join in that just leave because they realize they can't do it, which is a bummer because a lot of people wanted to get in.
But it's also okay in that scenario to leave if the program doesn't suit you, if the graduate degree doesn't suit you, and find other places. I mean, that's, you don't have to try to fit yourself into a program and try to adapt to it. You should want to be there, and you should fit well in your program.
Yeah, like you that's something I say to people too. Like, you have to want to do this to succeed in it, or else you're just like, there's no way to like Jack Sparrow your way through it if you're not into it, I guess. Yeah. You gotta have a plan.
Yeah, and you have to spend some time thinking about anthropology outside of just school. I mean, I think like folks like Carlton and like Spencer and all those folks, they spend a lot of time thinking about anthropology, archaeology,
I hate it,
indigenous issues. Like, that stuff is in their brain almost constantly. Whereas I think about Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and why I'm so sad today.
I think we touched on it in Bob's episode. Like, it's just like becomes a way of thinking. Because I would describe it as like, you know, in like spy movies when like stuff shows up on the glasses and it's like analyzing things in front of you. It's like, not my head doesn't do that, but it's like you think of things like that. And like you see a guy like at the bar like flirting because this is primate behavior. And then you're like looking over there and then there's like something blowing up on the news and you're like, oh, this is disastrous. This plate been in diaspora, like kind of full effect. And like you just only think about it that way. So if you're thinking about things like that now, you're on the right track.
It ruins you, though, because I was watching a commercial the other day.
Oh, you become a cynical dick.
Oh, it's the worst. I was watching a harmless like Taco Bell commercial with Lana, and they said, these are our Mexican spices. And I immediately looked at Lana. I was like, that's fucked up. What exactly are Mexican spices? And did this whole, it was a whole thing. And then I, at the end of it, I was like, you know, anthropology has straight up ruined us. Like, I can't find joy in anything because everything is just so.
Exactly. And Pam pointed out to us that, like, in most cleaning commercials or like house stuff commercials, it's women and they're always sitting down and the man is always standing up at the scenario, the woman's cleaning or something like that. And like, obviously that's like an advertising thing, not just anthropology, but like every time I watch a commercial, I'm like, oh, guess I'm not buying Bounty paper towels anymore. Yeah. Like, yeah. They just have that stuff going on.
Oh my God.
Well, I also remember at Garcia's wedding, and this, like, the DJ made some comment about keeping her, like, talking about Kelly, like, keeping Alex in line, or like, it was kind of like one of those weird, like, common comments about, you know, wife husband dynamics, but he said in a room full of anthropologists and nobody laughed and we're all like, ooh,
what was it? Do you remember?
I forget. I just remember I looked at Crave and Crave was like, yikes. So it was something
in like weird. The 50s kind of way, you know?
Yeah.
Like a traditional, like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll absolutely ruin, I won't say ruin your worldview, but it'll make you aware of everything.
And then you'll know, here's the thing too, you will look at what's going on in Afghanistan and in 2 seconds understand all the stuff that came and got to that moment right there and know all both sides of the argument and then realize there's no point in arguing with anybody, you can't do anything about it, and when news comes on, you just turn it off because you're like, I can't do anything, I know all of this, duh. then you go to a therapist every week because you're very intelligent because anthropology is awesome and you just can't do anything.
Well, to throw in a caveat saying that you don't have to think like this right now, but
if it interests you, yeah.
Yeah, if it interests you, or if during grad school you feel like it, you aren't connecting with material, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And absolutely right, Connor. And, you know, I was at a staff meeting for the museum the other week, and the things that they were saying, like the whole science division, right? Me and the other anthropologists were like, this is foundational anthro 101, how not to be a dick. And like some of this information was clearly new to like the geologists or some of the other scientists there, where it's like, why? I don't know. Anthropology, and it, you know, it's fundamental to a lot of like feminist movements, women's rights, like all these rights movements from the civil rights period. Anthropology as a discipline culturally, and cultural anthropology, I should say, was far more forward thinking and progressive. And you learn all that as an archaeologist because you're in the States an anthropologist first. And that's something to highly recommend, is if you are looking at a program, both undergrad or graduate school, four fields it if you can. Because it's such a breadth 100%. Of information. Archaeologists need culturals more than they need us, but like the things you learn in cultural anth is very similar. I mean, it's just needed, because you need in order to think about humans in the past, you have to know humans in the present.
Yeah, and I would also come in with an open mind. Anthropology, you know, will fuck your world up. It'll fundamentally fuck your world up and like ruin how you think about things. So just come with an open mind and be aware for those things to happen, have those moments where you're exposed to feminist theories and gender, things like that.
And you're going to be uncomfortable.
See systems. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to be uncomfortable more than once. And it happens frequently where you're just like, wow, I can't get any lower in my chair right now.
Right. And that's something that leads into this too. Something that I noticed, especially like moving from grad school right back to the South, you're in a very liberal bubble a lot of times in academia, and like to the point where like it's an echo chamber. And like I'd look back at some of my notes in my phone or like posts I'd put on Facebook, and I was like, man, I was not thinking that through, kind of thing. And you're like, you're just around it all the time, and like it's a university, everyone's going to be, you know, fairly progressive and liberal. And like, I would still say that I am, but like a lot of times I'm like, okay, I could be a little more lenient on like X, Y, or Z. And like, it's dangerous in that sense that like you can get caught up in it, I would say, but just know like Connor or Carlson was just saying, like, there's times where you're going to be uncomfortable being like, all right, I don't agree with these people on this specific issue, but like, just, you know, like anywhere else you work or go to, just keep it to you, you know, I don't know. And like, be intelligent about it. Everyone's got different opinions on things. It's just like anthropology specifically can get pretty, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but.
And grad school exposes those things, because you have to have, all the classes are discussion based most of the time. So you have these conversations and they will get extremely uncomfortable, and you might fundamentally disagree with someone else. And it's just a thing that happens as part of this.
Yeah. You know, like, and that's not to say that all anthropology is the same. Like you will, you know, not BYU is a great program, but an anthropologist or archaeologist from BYU is going to have a little bit different take than an anthropologist from Berkeley.
Right. That's a great point. Yeah.
And, you know, there's, you know, fundamental things that like I've noticed, like I can see a difference in my writing from like Radford to Wyoming. Well, even community college, because that dude was totally post-processual Solutrean theory to go to Radford and then go to Wyoming and then go to Boulder. And it's like, I've got a pretty, it's, you know, I got the cosmopolitan of ice cream. What's the ice cream with the fruit in it? You know what I'm talking about?
Metropolitan. Well, it's just strawberry.
Neapolitan.
That's it. The Neapolitan of archaeology through all the schools I've gone through. And it's like, it fundamentally, you know, it's part of who your Jedi master is.
Oh, yeah. And along those lines, too, I guess we should end here. What Carlton just said, maybe think of it. Religion, too. If you are, like, I'm not religious in the slightest, but I've met a lot of people in the field that are, and I have noticed that they are often uncomfortable with the conversations that, like, you know, most anthropologists, especially at an evolutionarily minded school like ours, can get pretty, you know, uncomfortable. So if you are and you're listening to this, I mean, I'm sure we've probably... Just keep that in mind. And also, if you're going into it and you aren't religious, also keep in mind that some people in your cohort might be. So, like, don't be an asshole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And on that note, don't be an asshole. This is episode 74 of Alive in Ruins Podcast. Segment 2. We'll catch you in segment 3 after Chris Webster's beautiful voice serenades us about something.
Timular!
Damn, you beat me! And welcome back to episode 74. So part of, you know, selecting, we've covered a couple things. One, our favorite episodes, which is totally unrelated. Two, what kind of programs you should get. And to go along with that, and as an undergrad, introduce yourself to your professors. What did I do?
Continue.
Don't watch the video. David did something obscene.
What video? Oh, okay. Introduce yourself to professors and always ask for help and talk with your professors. Take advantage of office hours. It's honestly some of the best conversations I've ever had with professors were on it. They just want to talk.
100%.
Be respectful of other people's opinions. Even though you're in an anthropology department, people are still coming in there with different worldviews. And, you know, I remember a point where I was struggling with some of the things I was learning, and it's fine. Going to grad school, I think we've talked about this before. That's why we had Bob on and a couple others. You know, you're picking someone you want to learn from. And part of that is making sure, one, they can take students, because as a grad student, they have some schools like Boulder, they're only allowed to have 3 PhD students at a time to avoid.
I didn't mean to.
Sorry. You're good. Basically just having too many students that never finish. Big one, especially if you're a PhD, is don't go to a program if it's not funded. If you're going to a master's like Wyoming and it's partially funded, I think that's okay because you're in and out in 2 years.
And your tuition is like $10.
Yeah. And if you can incur that, go for it. But don't get like a master's program out of state somewhere that's expensive, because then you won't be able to pay it off. So, you know, use good financial sense.
I have not heard one person not say, how would I say this? Like every PhD student I've ever heard has said, don't do it if you're not funded. So that's something I would iterate.
Exactly. Every guest we've ever had on here said that.
I said that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just thought,
yeah. She said it last week.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked David's analogy of like a Jedi master. You're hit their Padawan and you kind of have to agree on stuff.
Yeah. Like Obi-Wan had different opinions than Qui-Gon for sure, but they both learned the Force in the same way. Like it is that analogy though. Like I disagree with Bob on like several things, but like he's still like shaped the way I think in a lot of ways, even as an undergrad reading his book before I like worked with him. And Carlton said it too. You're picking someone, what did you say, to work for?
Work with, you know.
Work, yeah. And you're also picking your colleagues and your peers in that way too. Yeah.
And you're associated with that name for the rest of your academic career.
This is true.
You guys have mentioned it several times on the show that Jim Ahern broke down y'all's family lineage
pedigree.
Pedigree. Yeah. You know,
it's cool. Yeah.
It's cool. It's also something to be aware of, things that have happened in departments. And
yeah,
just pay attention to things you hear about people.
Talk to grad students. When I went to Arizona to apply, I didn't talk to one grad student other than Shane, who was like, yeah, man, apply. But when I went to Wyoming, there were a million students that Nicole Wagesback, who was there at the time, had me go out. She like grabbed Spencer in the hallway. She's like, hey, take this kid out for a drink later today and tell him about the department. And he was like, okay. And took me out with Rachel Schimmick. And we just talked about, you know, the department and like what to expect and like, you know, what life like is in, mostly like what life is like in that town. And that's a big thing too. Like at Carson, she moved from Wyoming to Seattle. Like that's a big change. She was at CSU though. And then,
yeah. Yeah, I said, do the visit. Yeah.
Do the visit. Some of the best advice I have gotten has come from graduates though.
Right. That's a good point too.
Because like people within the program tend to maybe not talk about the bad stuff.
Yeah. Fair point when you're going in, because they don't. They want you to come there for sure. Well, 2 people did tell me, not those 2, straight up, like some things about like don't like this and that, and don't work for this person and things like that. But yeah, for the most part, they're going to try to tell you like it's great.
Yeah, especially on those visits, because that's what they're representative of that department. They're like trying to convince you to go there. So just be wary, like Carlton said.
Yeah, just talk to as many people as you can. You know, for one of the big things that I was when I was looking for PhD programs, something that always you know, I applied to a bunch of PhDs before settling to Boulder. Boulder was my first choice, but something that really I'll never forget, there was one program that I was really kind of stoked to go to because it would be close to Pawnee, Oklahoma. And like I was introduced to the faculty via email and no one responded. And for some reason that really stood out to me. It's like this person just blasted all of her colleagues like, hey, this is someone that I want to be my student. You know, please chat with them. And like, no one emailed me. And I was just like, that's weird. Cause like when I applied to Wyoming for my master's, Melissa had like got me in touch with a bunch of people and we all talked and Doug got me in touch with a bunch of people here. And so like, especially for a department that wasn't going to fly me down there to meet anybody was just like, I don't know.
Those things matter.
Yeah.
Those things absolutely matter.
It caught my attention where I was like, okay, if they're not flying me down there to be a student, and if no one's reaching out to me, then why am I putting my time into this?
Yeah. In some places I applied along that line too. Like it might be one professor there you want to work with, but the rest of the program, there's not a lot of grad students. There's not a lot of like student life kind of stuff, like nothing to do in town. You want to go where you are going to have good peers. And I think that is really important. And like in Carlton's situation, it would have been not great.
And also a place that you want to live for, at least for PhD, you want to live for six to 10 years or
yeah.
5 to 10 years. Like you have to be able to function and live your life in a way that is good for your mental health. So if you don't want to be in, where's Oklahoma? Where's the University of Oklahoma? Norman?
Well, I did not say University of Oklahoma.
No, I'm just saying like as a place I would never want to live is Oklahoma because okay. it's a goddamn shithole.
One pleasant surprise, like Arizona like was in Tucson. Tucson sounded really cool to go live in. Like I know that word. There's a milk company named Tucson, so I was familiar. And the fish tacos were lit. But however, like Laramie, I was like, I don't want to move to Wyoming. Like, what do I have to like ride goats here? Like, what do they do there? And like, I went and it was gorgeous when I went on the tour. Also, I toured the school on Halloween and like everybody on campus was wearing costumes. And I was like, what is this place? And it just dawned on me that like it was Halloween later. But yeah, I ended up loving Wyoming and like not wanting to leave. So like, it could be a great time for you. And then you meet a lot of people. You like,
yeah, but if you don't want to be like in a small town that gets the negative temperatures, right. You know, I think those are things to factor in, but like you could also, you could totally also love a place like you said.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this straight up. Like I'm open with it. When you move from a big place to a small town and you have anxiety, like it's weird. Cause you're like, I'll probably see a professor or I'll probably see someone I don't want to see at the store. And then you feel weird. And then like they can see like you're downtown, like word gets around quick. I don't know. It's just like, careful. But I mean, that's just me. Like I'm weird and like would be like, oh God, someone's gonna see me getting green onions at the store. And it's just like I don't know. Sorry. Continue on. That's just mental health. That's a big thing. You're gonna, oh yeah, let's talk about that, boys. You're gonna, if your mental health is at like a 70 right now where you're at, drop that down to a 30 on a good day when you're in grad school. It's gonna be a thing.
Yeah.
You gotta have the will to like go push through that.
And there sometimes is programs or resources to talk to someone at the university about what's going on. I wish I would have done that at University of Wyoming through the healthcare. You can talk to a counselor or like that stuff is super important. And yeah, take advantage of all those resources if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went on a date with a girl in New York one time and she went to Columbia and she was interesting. She was doing like women's like feminine products in Africa and like as a cultural dissertation. But she told me like, I can't remember exactly how the conversation came up, but she was like, I don't know one person getting their PhD who does not have a therapist. And she was like, cause I was asking her what she thinks about doing that. And she was like, I wouldn't do it, man. Then she never called me back. But Justine, if you're out there, just kidding. But yeah, it's going to be a thing.
Yeah, you're going to be stressed. Really? You're thrown into an environment where you have to compete and there's a lot of things that are expected of you. Expected to be the top of your class. You're expected to be better than a master's student. You know, there's a lot of things that are thrown upon you. And I think one of us can speak more to that than the rest of it.
Chilling in his cave over there.
I mean, like, what? I don't know.
I guess I'm in a
little. I always
cave
have like a rough. Thing. Yeah,
I'm in a cave too. Well, I'm in a basement.
I always have a rough first year when I go to a new place. Like, it's I don't adjusting. Know what it yeah. is. Yeah. And it's also a bunch of personal stuff. Like, it's always a rough adjustment for a bunch of stuff. There's definitely things I wish I knew more coming into both programs. The isolation at Wyoming sucked.
Yeah.
Being stuck in Laramie in the winter, which is from September to June, is like not great.
Not even kidding, though.
It's like, oh, I'm stuck in this town. But then here at CU Boulder, it's more of there are more grad students here that are different at walks of their life, or at Wyoming, we're all kind of the same age. Here, it's like people are married. People don't even live in Boulder. They're in their 30s. They're in their 40s. And it's like, I don't have this close of a relationship with many of my colleagues that I did at Wyoming, which was also a rough adjustment.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about, because like we started this podcast my second semester at Boulder, and like we basically, this podcast has been on air since I've just been a PhD student the entire time.
This is true.
So we watched congrats. The slow, like insane decline of.
He's currently sitting in a dark bedroom. Yeah. Connor, Carlton, and I are very social people. And actually, I wasn't very social in my undergrad, and I kind of like really blossomed out in like Laramie because I was with someone I really knew well. And like met Connor and stuff, who's like just like me. So it was like nice. And I like went out and like had fun and did the college fun that I didn't do in college because I was a socially anxious dweeb. That's fun, but we're social. Some of you guys might not be. And like there's no pressure to do that, though. It is like, again, like these people will be your colleagues and they will get you jobs later. So like show face, you know. But if you're not into doing all that, like there's nothing wrong with that. Keep your nose to the books, like do your thing.
Yeah.
Just know that that's like a big part of grad school is the camaraderie.
For sure.
We should probably be a little more positive at the end here.
I don't know. The job market shot. I mean, like, I don't good know. Point. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're going to do this, if you're going to do this, one, do it. Connor did and get a skill in something that's marketable outside of academia. That's the big one, period. Like, me doing Bayesian stuff is not going to help me anywhere. I'm maybe. Pretty useless on the private.
The coding and stuff like that.
But I don't see a CRM firm hiring me for that. Like, that's my job.
Along what you're saying, Carlton, would be like the job market's oversaturated and it's hard to find a good one, huh?
Can I just, academic job market, is oversaturated. The private sector is always going to need folks. So, right. Okay.
Good call. Good call. I needed that. But in the academic sense, you're with people who are learning the same thing as you, who are also just as intelligent, if not more intelligent than you. You're going to feel inferior half the time, get the imposter syndrome. And those are the people who you're going to compete for jobs for, and they're your friends. And you got to be ready for that. And like, I didn't get to that point. Carlton's at that right now. And like, that's a scary thought because like someone who you know and love is like just as qualified as you for the job and you can't be cutthroat about it.
Yeah. I had that conversation with Maddie Mackey not too long ago because I had this dawning realization. I am one of the eldest archaeology grad students now. Like, I am the Spencer and Maddie.
Oh, yeah.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
People are asking me for advice. And like, I just like, I'm not that great at advice because people hit me up all the time. And I'm like, one, my housing was secured for master's. So I was in a fraternity. Like, I am indigenous and I've had minority scholarships rained on me. Like, that's how I got at Wyoming was I got a minority scholarship funding. Like, they had funding for me to use, you know? So like my route has just been very non-traditional. And mm-hmm. So I feel like I can't help people out that much because it's like I've just had a very odd experience that's Haven't met anyone else who has the same background as me.
Fair enough.
Fundamentally.
Loans are going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to think about those.
Don't say that word.
We haven't been paying them there hasn't been any interest on them for a year and a half, though. So
that's cool.
And the country hasn't collapsed either, which is weird.
It's wild.
Others have.
Hearing that.
also, you might be a cynic at some point, and that's okay.
And if you are a cynic already going into it, just you're going to have a terrible time. To wrap it up as a good thing, guys, if you absolutely want to do anthropology, if you sat in anthropology class like I did and they put Chappelle's shows on and said, turn to the partner next to you or person next to you and discuss why this is funny. And you're like, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. Do it. If you sit in that class and you're like, this is stupid, don't do it. you'll find a way to make it work if you like it.
Yeah, yeah, you have to have that passion, that drive. If this is what you think about every day, this is definitely something for you.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. I think Lana's given up on it. I think we were talking about it the other day.
Oh, no.
I know. She wants to do something not totally professor related. I mean, we've been looking at
her two PhDs.
Yeah, with her two PhDs, she just cannot. I don't know what she wants to do. She was talking about like working at a Starbucks and like forbid it. I was like, no.
You will not. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. But like with two PhDs, it's questionable.
Exactly. I was like, we'll find something for you.
We should also say that being a professor is a great job. It is like a full professorship is like one of the greatest jobs you can have because you're there for life and they can't get rid of you.
And you get your summers off.
You just have to get there.
Yeah, it's getting to that peak, and it's a slog.
It is.
And it's Dave Anderson didn't get his till he was like 50-some.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't know if I think it's it. It's like Doug has been doing a lot of full professor review packets for a bunch of people across the Great Plains, and it's been like really interesting to. I mean, he doesn't go into depth with them with me because that'd be a breach. But just like kind of talking about how the market is different today than when he was going out for full professor back in like the early 2000s. And so we had a real, real conversation. I think he might have realized like, wow, like really understood how screwed I am on the market.
It sucks, man. Sorry to hear that. On a positive note.
Can I live in your van, David? Can I just be your camera boy?
I haven't announced that yet, but yeah, I'm buying a bus. So
I've got a closet in my condo that Harry Potter likes, so.
Oh, dude, yes.
Hell yeah. That's why I fit.
Indian in the Cupboard. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, no. Oh, no, I can't do it.
I've heard that. I haven't seen it. No, I didn't know it was
a movie. Good. It's a good movie. It's a classic, I'd say.
Is it Stephen King or something?
No.
It's like the exact opposite of Stephen King. It's like a nice light story about like a figure, right? A little.
It's like a magical cupboard that when you put miniatures into it. Oh, it sounds like a horror. Yeah, no, yeah. You put figure like little toys into it and they come alive. And so this boy puts in like this little Iroquois guy named like Little Bear, and it comes alive. So he has a little Indian in his cupboard and it's like this whole coming of age story. It's really well done. It's a beautiful
Does it hold movie. Up today?
The haircuts don't. But it's definitely like late 90s New York.
I assumed it was just like nowadays it was going to suck and like be canceled, but I didn't realize. I'm glad it held up.
Yeah. It's on Netflix, I think.
Although, there's not many of those that really did it right.
Check that out. All right, guys. If you want to discuss this or talk to us, DM the podcast. Don't DM me. Or if you follow me and that's how you got to the podcast, DM the podcast. Then all of us will see it and be better able to help you. If you are a student or a PhD student, talk to Carlton. If you want to do private sector work, talk to Connor or GIS work. I also work in the private sector, but my job's like kind of like super niche and weird. But yeah, just email us or message us on the podcast Instagram and we will try to answer your questions. But most importantly, research the website of the school you want to go to or several that you want to go to and think about who you would most like to learn from and then talk to the students who are also there. I think we can sum it up as that. And we're there, correct.
Because you'll get two different answers from like a fresh first year and then someone that's been there for 6 years getting out.
And and do the deep dive into yourself if this is what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Or just say fuck it and just take it on a whim like I did.
Don't do that.
Yeah, it does not suss out. Or it does not bode well for me in many situations.
Yeah, it's pretty sus.
Well, on that note, Carlton.
Yep.
We're out.
We're... Thanks for listening to a Life in Ruins podcast.
You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at a Life in Ruins podcast. And you can also email us at alifeinruinspodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, make sure to bring your archaeologists in from the cold and feed them beer.
So this is a joke from one of our followers on Instagram. It's Sela Boggs, S-E-L-A-H, Boggs. She said, broke up with my girlfriend because she was a communist. Should have known. I saw red flags everywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Key Soviet Union National Anthem, and we are out.
But I was thinking, I actually know the opening lyrics, but we're not going to sing it today. So.
This episode was produced by Chris Webster from his RV Traveling America, Tristan Boyle in Scotland, and the Archaeology Podcast Network, and was edited by Rachel Roden.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.